Welcome to Straight to the Point. I'm your host, Representative Joe DiOrsi. In a world of long-windedness, I'm here to deliver you the Capitol news in 10 minutes or less. So let's get straight to the point. So let's rewind to COVID. I mean, you could look at it either way. It was six short years ago, six long years ago.
Right.
I know with the way we consume information, I would say it was probably six long years ago. It's, yeah. You know, out of sight,
seems
out of mind.
Seems like an eternity, thankfully.
Yeah. But you were one of, your actions were heroic, especially in the York area with the draconian shutdowns of businesses. Rewind us to that for viewers where it's not fresh in their mind, and walk me through how that was being a legislator. I wasn't yet in the legislature. I know early on it probably seemed pretty scary with COVID. That first couple of months, we didn't know what to think, and maybe draw some similarities in comparing, you know, what happened during COVID under Wolf and now this under Shapiro.
Yeah. The first couple months, I want to say it sort of, you know, obviously started, you know, in Italy and a couple other places. I want to say it was like a March time frame where some of the lockdowns sort of initiated. It was very surreal, as you can imagine. And I would say within a couple of months, we gave the governor the benefit of the doubt, which I think was appropriate. No one was, you know, we're not COVID deniers.
Mm-hmm.
And no one was saying it wasn't serious. That's not the point, to be crystal clear. It's just like vaccines. You know, I don't have a strong opinion, frankly, on the measles vaccine. I think we should be questioning why we're pumping so many more vaccines into infants at such a young age. Like, maybe some of this could be spread out. Maybe I'm not convinced you need to be vaccinated against the chicken pox.
Mm-hmm.
We seem to do okay without that one. Certainly wouldn't vaccinate a young child against COVID if it were me. I'm not a doctor, so, you know. But conversely, smallpox and polio are real things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so in any event, it became apparent, Joe, with about 2-3 months into it, that these were bureaucrats in Harrisburg. The governor didn't even leave his house.
Mm-hmm.
Activist bureaucrats and their staffers literally making things up as they were going along. You know, your job's essential, mine's not. We have a plant farm there right on the fringe of my district, right on the border. You couldn't even do drive-up carry-out of, you know, starter tomato plants and so forth, which is exactly what you would want people doing to grow vegetables at home.
Yeah.
But you could have drive-up alcohol. You couldn't buy – I had a friend who sells used cars. He could do it with plenty of distance with just himself and one customer 30 feet away. He couldn't sell a car, but right next door was a Turkey Hill with a line out the door selling lottery tickets. I mean,
yeah.
No matter what you want debate, things you can debate, that's just, it was nonsensical.
Yeah.
And then who get, you know, certain businesses get, and the draconian nature of it, the government deciding who is essential, who is not, who gets to go to work, who doesn't, which business stays open, which doesn't. The right approach was, you know, take whatever precautionary measures you need to take. Clearly, we needed to protect the most vulnerable, people with different illnesses that were, you know, physically weakened, the elderly. But it was apparent also very early on that children were not susceptible, not you know, the majority of children. And so it was like this, and the consequence, and we consulted experts. This is the last thing I'll say about it. So it was clear that it was a big overreach that really wasn't saving any lives. I pulled the data in advance of this. You look at all of the countries in the world, the United States was like 16th most COVID deaths.
Mm-hmm.
So clearly the lockdowns didn't, and Pennsylvania wasn't faring any better than the states that were opening. I think they were worse. And in the meantime, it did. So we had reopened York that I kind of spearheaded with other private citizens. And our tagline was reopening saves lives, because it was clear that these lockdowns were destroying far more lives than they were saving. And we had a psychologist as part of our team, and she predicted a lot of this increase in suicides. The impact on children was tremendous, more than I even imagined, Joe. Yeah, I have a...
It was like a year lost for many kids.
And I have a friend, I was shocked, this was about a year ago, her son, who's like early, mid-20s, it's only been within the, at this point, a year or two ago, three, 4 years removed from COVID, that he could even walk into a Walmart because he was that, you know, the, it was even worse than I imagined is the point. And so to think that we, the other one was neighbors telling on neighbors. I mean, that's straight out of East Germany and the Eastern Bloc, right? You know, ratting. And I remember putting a post up like, don't be a rat. You know, don't, yeah. We're not into, we don't rat our neighbors out because they're having a picnic. You know, if you don't want to have a picnic and don't want to be around people, stay home.
Yeah.
But you can't, able-bodied adults have to go to work. You can do it wisely if you know, each his own. It's just like the, you know, the vaccine. If you want to get a vaccine, I'm glad it's there for you and get it. If you don't, then don't. If the vaccine works, what does it matter if the other person's vaccinated?
Yeah, and you know? Some restaurants are still reeling. We know some of them in York that were put on conditional licenses because they dared to open. And during, you know, the COVID lockdowns, and to be clear, Mike, a lot of these restaurants did it by the book.
Right.
They had outdoor seating, you know, they had social distancing, you know, all of this stuff, and they were still cited. And I hate to say it, but a lot of those restaurants are no longer. These are real businesses who tried their best to maintain their livelihood and weigh, you know, the health of their consumers at the same time, and they're no longer in business.
And major financial impact. It's one of the biggest, probably the single biggest reason that we've been battling inflation for 3-4 years is the government, you know, sitting there printing money while people are, you know, for the most part, no one's working.
I mean,
you know, and obviously, you could argue that the financial piece is secondary, and I would agree with that. But that has consequence on people as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of coming back to me now. I apologize for getting a little long-winded, but there's so many stories I had, and a lot of people were. It was great if you're able to work from home and collect a paycheck, you know. And God love those folks, mm-hmm. you know. But that I can tell you that did a lot of damage to the efficiency of businesses that we're still dealing with. One of the biggest reasons that we are on the verge of burning through the rainy day fund after we've now burnt through the surpluses because the government sent money to Pennsylvania. I remember doing a little video at the time for AFP, probably at least 6 people watched it, but basically saying to Washington, don't send us money, we need to open up.
Yeah.
But I had the last piece, I had a 62-year-old waitress who was out of work, lived by herself, and she had spent, it was at least 3 or 4 days nonstop calling unemployment. And this was not, and I had heard this from a couple other people, hundreds of phone calls, and I would tell them, no one's answering.
Yeah.
She had a panic attack, fell through her screen door. You know, I had to take some funds over to her just to help her with some groceries and so forth. And I mean, those were the things that people weren't seeing because we were isolated. You know, so some people it's like, hey, this is great. I can work from home and have some quality time. But the impact it was having on children, the impact it was having on those who were out of work, who were isolated. I remember an older lady saw her at CVS coming out of Shrewsbury, and she's wanting to know if she can go visit her husband. Meaning, as it turned out, her husband who's in the graveyard.
Yeah.
And cause that's when they were not going to let people drive.
Yep.
Again, and I said, you go see your husband. First of all, in York County, we're blessed with some police with common sense and a district attorney, now the AG, Dave Sunday, with some common sense. And I remember saying to her, I said, would you like a hug? And she said, I would love a hug.
Yeah.
And it occurred to me, that woman may not have had any physical contact for 6, 8, 10 months. That has a psychological toll. There was a lot of damage done to a lot of lives mm-hmm. by the overreaction. Not that we should have trivialized it, but this big overreach and a lot of that damage isn't captured in statistics.
So it should be fresh in our mind. And my final question for you is this: could this trajectory? We talked the press conference. We talked these regulation proposals. Could this be a COVID 2.0 unless it's checked?
Well, it easily could be. And again, if that was, if that came to fruition, there was a COVID or similar incident, and it's in the way it's written, it could be a, you know, a measles outbreak, which is global, by the way. I was watching the U.S. Secretary of Health, right, RFK Jr., who lives and breathes this stuff. And he said the measles outbreak is actually a global thing, and the U.S. is faring far better than virtually any other country. Hmm. And no one's trivializing that, but that's certainly not the type of thing that would warrant lockdowns.
Yeah.
But yet it could easily be parlayed into that because it's at the discretion pretty much of the governor. And they're basically a self-anointed king at that point because you use the emergency powers to do largely whatever you want, clearly including throwing the Constitution out the window to enter people's homes, to dust off some Eastern Bloc techniques and interview children and have them rat their parents out. I mean, people should be up in arms over this, regardless of your political persuasion, regardless of what you think about vaccines. This is over the top.
Yeah, on the one end, it's public health, and I know that a lot of people who are towing the line, you know, that the governor's towing, would easily accuse us of being against public health. I think somebody said that the Commissioner Parsons was pro measles for asking questions.
Which is insane, right?
But then on the other side, it's two separate issues, and it was true about COVID: is personal freedoms and liberties. Under the guise of public health, is it appropriate to just subvert the Constitution and steal these personal liberties? And for you and me, the answer is no.
Definitely no. And again, we're not anti-vaxxers. I think, my children are vaccinated. I think parents are also within their right to question some of the, if you look at the list of vaccines, in 1960, it was about this, two or three of them. And then in the early 80s, that had like tripled. And now it's like, tripled again. Mm-hmm. It does beg the question again on how many are truly necessary. I'm sure probably some of them definitely are. Some of them may be a little more questionable. Because the point is, reasonable people can have differences of opinion on that. To impose your will on somebody is it's against everything that we stand for, And if there's a true public outbreak of something, we will act to contain it, just like the federal government's been doing in Texas and other states. They've intervened on the measles and gotten it under control. Nobody's mm-hmm. trivializing it, but you don't have to throw the Constitution out the window to do that.
Yeah. So if you're listening or watching and you want some information about how to submit a public comment, we actually set up a landing page on my website because the process is actually really difficult. I was looking at it today and it's like, email this address, and the address is like a mile long, and
right,
then put in the subject line this. We have the instructions at repjod.com/comment. So any of your constituents, any of mine, anyone listening from afar here in Pennsylvania, you have until September 21st to submit a comment, pro or con. I mean, public comments are for anybody who wants their voice heard before this commission makes a decision. So again, that's repjod.com/comment, and you have until September 21st. He's Representative Mike Jones, representing my hometown of, in the 93rd District in York County. Mike, thanks for joining.
Thank you, Joe. Appreciate it.
This has been Straight to the Point. Visit repjod.com/mypodcasts.